attention spans almost exclusively. The difference is profound. My muscles are more balanced and functional, especially for the movements I need to perform as an NFL quarterback. Resistance bands clearly work better for me. Lifting weights is a man-made phenomenon. 99% of the population doesn't need to lift hundreds of pounds of weight at a time. But often our culture takes its cues from athletes. The weightlifting model has been glorified and marketed in the culture. But that doesn't mean it's functional, or even that it works very well in isolation. It needs to be complemented to maintain balance. Train at the speed of your sport. As a football player, the workouts I do mimic the movements I make over the course of a season. One of our central beliefs at TB12 is that you should train at the speed of the sport you play too. In my job, I need to throw, run, cut, and respond quickly to changing conditions as I stand in the pocket. That's different from the job of a runner, whose workouts may focus on improving his speed or race times, and who should be concentrating on speed, agility, and cardiac endurance, rather than on leg presses or squats. Alex always says, for long-term peak performance, you can't train slow and move fast. Over a short window of time, it may be possible, but lifting heavy weights and moving fast at the same time is not very sustainable. And it's certainly not sustainable if you want to maintain optimal pliability. Maybe younger athletes with natural pliability can, but they'll be sacrificing durability and longevity. Lifting heavy and moving fast is counterintuitive and counterproductive. Why? Because without knowing it, you are neural priming your muscles to work slowly and deliberately, not just during your workouts, but when you play your sport too. If athletes work out slow and heavy, their bodies can get confused. In our experience, by not connecting on-field work with off-field workouts, athletes will most likely end up overloading, compensating, and getting injured. Basically, athletes are training their bodies and brains one way off the field and asking them to do something entirely different when they're on the field. Why wouldn't their bodies get confused? In sports, you need to think fast and train fast, especially over the long term. For that reason, my workout consists of quick bursts of exercise using resistance bands. Alex and I will do 20 seconds of one exercise, followed by a 20-second rest. Another 20-second exercise, followed by another 20-second rest. We do this over and over again. When I go out onto the field on Sunday, I don't want my brain to think or play slowly. That's why I train fast. From the first play forward, every single one of my muscles is firing at 100% and is balanced in its most optimal state. In short, I train the way I want to play, based on the needs of my sport. That's why I'll end up playing the way I train. That's why I train all year in a holistic, integrated way. Form first. At TB12, we emphasize the importance of proper form during workouts. You should always start in a biomechanically neutral position. Knees over feet, hips over knees, shoulders over hips, a firm core. Because if you're not in proper alignment, you're conditioning your body to be out of balance. Let's say that you're doing 10 push-ups. After the 7th push-up, your chest is straining and you feel fatigued. You're having a hard time finishing the exercise. But your brain says, keep going, fight hard. It asks other muscles to step in and help you finish. It could be your lats, your triceps, or your butt. Your brain calls on any muscle that will help you achieve your goal and finish what you set out to do. But to me, form first means engaging only the muscles you should be engaging for the movement you are attempting to do. That's how you keep the proper balance. Once I sense my form breaking down, I know I'm training my brain the wrong way. other muscles are compensating for the muscle that should be working. And unless I stop, my brain will learn a new behavior, in this case a negative one. Athletes often say, I did 10 reps. But what if after the fourth or fifth rep, their form begins breaking down? Form first. Otherwise, you'll begin activating muscles that shouldn't be activated, and you'll be training your brain to store bad behaviors. As a football team, why go out to the practice field and run 50 plays the wrong way? If you're going to practice, practice the right way. Therefore, if you are going to train, train the right way. Resistance bands, a primer. At the TB12 Center, we use three different kinds of resistance strengthening. The bands aren't necessarily unique to us. It's more how we use them that sets what we do apart from other training approaches. Sheathed bands. These bands have handles, which is why they're used primarily for exercises that emphasize the upper body, though you can use them to target other areas of your body too. The bands are sheathed and handled and made from latex. They come with a strap that fits around a door or that can be anchored against any wall or solid surface at varying heights. Looped resistance bands come in different thicknesses, which correspond to different intensity levels. These bands can go around your knees, ankles, or waist and allow you to do the same motions you would do with bars and free weights. Shorter looped resistance bands, which are smaller and thicker, also loop around your ankles and knees and are a great way to add resistance and difficulty to agility skills or squats. Range of resistance. The band you should use depends on your size, strength, level of athleticism, and experience. But unless otherwise noted, the 36 exercises in the next three sections are suitable for beginner, intermediate, advanced, and elite athletes. If an exercise feels too easy, go up to the next color band, or adjust the distance that you're standing from the wall, door, or anchor point. Before you start, the exercises ahead are not necessarily unique to TB12. What is different are the creative additions or variations we apply, and the pace at which the exercises are performed. The exercises combine cardio with strength training at the same time. If you do, say, a 20-minute high-intensity workout using resistance bands, you don't need much cardio before or after. Your heart rate will already be elevated, I promise. The category listed, upper body, core stability, lower body, indicates the part of the body where you will feel it most, though the exercises may activate multiple areas. To monitor your form, we recommend you exercise in front of a mirror, or alongside a partner who can give you feedback on your form, or even record yourself on your cell phone. Make sure you maintain the right biomechanically correct form, knees over feet, hips over knees, and your core engaged, before you start. And stop performing an exercise the moment your form starts to break down. In these exercises, our TB12 body coaches emphasize ground force production, which we define as the ability to transfer energy from the ground through your body and into the function you're asking your body to perform. For example, when I stand on the field with both feet planted, I'm generating force up through my legs into my torso, and then up into my shoulders and throwing arm. Without good core stability, I wouldn't have access to that level of strength and force. Do each exercise for 20 seconds, or until your form starts to break down. Over time, as you build up endurance and increase proficiency, you'll find yourself doing the exercise for the full 20 seconds. 12 upper body exercises. We all need some degree of strength in our upper bodies, whether as athletes or simply as we carry out the acts of daily living, opening doors, reaching for something in the hardware store, gardening, moving furniture, pushing a baby carriage, carrying luggage, or mowing the lawn. Most upper body exercises also call on our core and lower body too. How often during the day do we use only our upper bodies after all? The answer, not often. What's great about these first 12 upper body exercises is that they're explosive and quick movement, but also low tension. That reduced tension prevents overload and limits the risk of getting hurt. Like all the exercises in this book, they mimic many of the common movement patterns each one of us performs every day. Is there an order to them? To some degree, but switch them up now and then so that your brain and body are better able to adapt to new forces and stresses on command. For example, a typical workout is 3 sets times 10 reps. If you do that same workout every day at the same speed, with the same color band, you aren't creating any new neural priming. So try 4 reps or change the level of resistance. It will keep your body guessing. Also, the exercises shouldn't be hard, and they shouldn't be easy. The goal is to create tolerable resistance and stress without overload. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. 1. Single arm chest press with varied leg positions. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position. Elbow height or slightly above. In this one, the goal is to activate your upper body while keeping your lower body stable. This exercise engages the chest through pushing and pulling and increased resistance in order to build strength. It becomes even more challenging when you switch stances. Facing away from the wall, door, or anchor point, start with your legs together. Keep your posture upright and your core and glutes contracted. Clench the bands underneath your elbows. Step forward with your left foot. As you do, bring your right arm holding the band forward, making a continuous in-and-out motion. Switch to the other side and repeat. 2. Single arm row with varied leg positions. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height, or slightly above. When we pull ourselves out of bed or out of a chair, we're performing movements similar to the ones in this exercise. Again, just by varying your leg position, you'll make this one even harder. Face the wall. Keep your head up and squeeze your glutes. Keeping your elbow tight to your torso until the band reaches the front of your chest, pull and release the band rapidly, 6 times. Next, assume a split stance and repeat. Try to keep your movements efficient and fluid. Switch sides and repeat. 3. Alternating arm punches. Equipment, resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height, or slightly above. This exercise gets your upper body moving and moving fast. It focuses on explosiveness in your upper body as you maintain stability in your lower body. It's a lot more challenging than it looks. Stand with your back facing the wall. Contract your core and straighten your spine. With both hands gripping a band and grasping the bands under your elbows, punch forward with alternating arms. Maintain full arm extension for each punch and proceed at a fluid, continuous pace. 4. Alternating rows. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height or slightly above. Similar to the previous exercise in explosiveness, this one calls on your back, biceps, and triceps to move your upper body with control. Crouching slightly, maintain a neutral stance with your chest, neck, and head raised. Squeeze your glutes and your core. Using alternating hands, Pull each band toward you, then release. Continue this motion at a fluid, continuous pace for 20 seconds. 5. Standing lateral extension. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. This exercise will be familiar to anyone who's ever tried to pull themselves out of bed or who swims laps in a pool. Pull with your arms, bringing them from high to low, with both your core and glutes engaged. With the band attached high on the wall, face the wall and maintain an athletic stance. Grip the band with both hands. Pull the band down to your center and bring your arms back up to the starting position with control. Pull the band back down to your center toward your right hip and release. Now pull it down to your center toward your left hip and release. Continue this sequence at a rapid pace with control. 6. Cross body step and press. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height. In this one, we use both our upper and lower body while maintaining our stability. This is a great exercise for dealing with the forces and stresses of daily life. Stand tall with your stomach and glutes engaged. Using either a looped band or a handle band, grip the end in your right hand. As you extend the band straight away from your chest, step forward with your left leg. The only moving parts should be your right arm and left leg. Your core and your glutes should remain stable. Continue the step and press at a fluid, continuous pace for 20 seconds. Repeat, this time with your left arm and your right leg. 7. Cross body pull. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height or slightly above. A beginner may struggle at first with this exercise, but keep at it. Stand with your side to the wall. Grip the handle or loop end of the band and pull it directly across your chest, keeping your elbow snug against your rib cage. Accelerate the pace, remembering to keep your upper body straight at all times. There should be no rotation of your trunk. Turn to face the other way and repeat the sequence with the other arm. 8. Band core rotation. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height. This is a great exercise for athletes whose sports require upper body rotation, golfers, tennis players, and quarterbacks. Even non-athletes rotate their torsos many times a day without realizing it. Maintain a good athletic stance, with your hips back and your core engaged. With both hands gripping the handle or loop, bring your arms out in front of you and then, keeping your arms straight, pull the band across your chest as you rotate your torso, increasing your pace as you go. Do this exercise for 20 seconds. Switch sides and repeat. 9. Band-resisted push-up. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Before mastering this exercise, make sure you can do a simple push-up first. Then add the resistance band. Loop a band behind your back under the armpits. Hold both loop ends under your palms as you assume a push-up position. Do 6 or 7 standard push-ups as explosively as possible. Plyometric variation. As you come up from the push-up, clap your hands. Note: if you're using the sheathed bands, hold down part of the sheathing to reduce slack. 10. Band front raise. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. This exercise typically requires a lighter band, but find the one that suits you best. Place a looped or sheathed band on the ground and step inside it with both feet. Maintain a good athletic position, with your shoulders back and straight, and your core engaged. Raise and lower the band up and down as fast as you can, maintaining good form. The motion should come from your shoulders and not from your hips, glutes, or trunk. 11. Band pull-aparts. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. This exercise is similar to the movements we make when we swim or even throw a frisbee in the backyard. You'll feel the effects afterward in your mid-back and shoulders. Place a looped band on the ground and step inside it with both feet. Lift both hands to chest level. While maintaining an upright posture, stretch the band across your chest with both arms. Do this for 20 seconds. Variation. Repeat the same motion at a faster pace. 12. Front-facing core angel. Equipment. Two resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. A dynamic full-body exercise with lots of variables going on. You move your arms while you tap your feet, all while remaining stationary, and you do it fast, too. With the bands attached high on the wall, face the wall and use both hands to grip both ends of the bands. Begin shuffling your feet fast as you raise the bands overhead and lower to your sides. Do this for 20 seconds at an accelerated pace. 12 core stability exercises. Everything starts with the core, which encompasses several muscle groups, including your abdominals, your oblique muscles, they run down your sides, your low back, and your quads. With good core stability, we're able to use the core muscles designed to carry out the daily functions of life without putting stress or excess force on our knees, ankles, neck, shoulders, or low back. If someone bumps into you, with good core stability, you won't ever get knocked down. In the end, your core needs to be able to take a lot of the stresses of life. For athletes who are absorbing a lot of external forces, a strong core is fundamental, but you really need to engage your core in all aspects of life, all the time. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. 1. Palloff squat. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height, or slightly above. This exercise asks you to activate your upper body while resisting that same rotation, and to do it with control, too. Stand with your side to the wall, with the band attached to the wall at elbow level or slightly above. Maintain a stable stance, holding the band at chest level. Squat, while extending the band away from your chest, then back, in a continuous in-and-out motion, never allowing the band to rotate. Repeat on the other side. 2. Palloff core shuffle. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, elbow height, or slightly above. Another anti-rotation exercise, this one with a few more variables. Stand with your side to the wall and your hips back. Squeeze your stomach and your glutes. Using both hands, grip the band at chest level. Shuffle your feet from side to side while holding the band steady and taut. To add resistance, raise and lower the band. Repeat on the other side. Variation, increase the pace of your shuffling. 3. Core angel. Equipment. Two resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. In this one, you're being pulled backward as you move both your arms and legs fast and maintain explosiveness. Hold the bands overhead using both hands. Begin shuffling your feet. Raise and lower the bands, maintaining a fast, fluid pace. Try to stay in one place without moving forward or backward. 4. Overhead core shuffle. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. By keeping your body long as you stand as tall as possible, this exercise is a great core activator. Hold the looped band overhead, extending your arms until the band is taut. Squeeze your stomach and your glutes, and rock back and forth from one foot to the other, lifting your non-weight-bearing foot slightly as you rock. Your core should remain solid, and your arms should remain extended and fixed in place throughout the exercise. Accelerate the pace while maintaining your core stability. 5. Overhead arm flutters. Equipment. 2 resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. This one is harder than it looks, and you'll feel it afterward. With bands attached high on the wall, stand straight with your back to the wall, keeping your core engaged. Hold the bands overhead, one in each hand. Shuffle your feet in place as you move your arms subtly, while keeping them extended for 20 seconds. 6. Plank with a row. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, knee height. Most people use a light band with this one. Also, make sure you can hold a plank before you go and add movement to it. Assume a plank position facing the wall, balancing on your arms or your elbows. Hold a resistance band with your right hand. Continue to balance on your left hand as you pull the band toward your chest and stomach in a fluid, continuous motion, while maintaining the position. Do this for 20 seconds. Switch hands and repeat on the other side. 7. X-Plank. Equipment, none. This exercise requires coordination of your arm and leg as you maintain stability. Again, make sure you can hold a simple plank before adding variations. Assume a plank position with both arms directly underneath your shoulders. Keep your legs straight and your stance wide. Engage your glutes and raise your left leg off the ground while raising your right arm. Repeat, this time with your right leg and left arm. Go back and forth like this for 20 seconds. 8. Lateral resisted bird dog. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, knee height. A great exercise that uses your glutes and shoulders while challenging your core stability. Loop a band around your waist and attach it low to the wall. Assume a tabletop position. Keep your back straight, your head down, and your core engaged. Raise your left arm while simultaneously extending your right leg straight backward. Keep your back as flat as possible. Return to the starting position in a controlled manner and repeat for 20 seconds. Turn around and repeat, this time with your right arm and left leg. 9. Single leg balance with halo. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. This one is for more experienced athletes and can be challenging on many levels. With your back to the wall and your core stable, hold the band over your head. Raise your right knee to 90 degrees and lower the band to your right shoulder, then back overhead, then to your left shoulder. Next, raise your left knee and repeat the exercise. 10. High to low, low to high rotation. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. resistance band position, overhead and knee height. Any golfer or hockey player will find this diagonal movement familiar. Begin with the band up high on the wall, door, or anchor point. Grasp the handle or loop end. Keeping your lower body stable, bring the band across your body in a diagonal from high to low, back and forth, for 20 seconds. Reattach the band to a low point on the wall. Repeat the exercise, this time going from low to high. Switch sides and repeat. 11. Four-way overhead resisted foot fire. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. Unlike overhead arm flutters, this exercise keeps your upper body static. With the band up high, stand facing the wall. Grip the handle overhead with both hands. Keep your posture upright. As you hold the band taut, shuffle your feet in place for 20 seconds. Adjust your stance so you are facing away from the anchor point. Repeat the exercise again for 20 seconds. 12. Resisted walking plank. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, knee height. As long as you can hold a plank, this exercise should be especially challenging. With the band at a low point on the wall, loop it around your waist. Assume a plank position. Keeping your hips level, move as far away from the wall as you can, using your legs and your arms, and maintaining control at all times. Switch sides and repeat. 12 lower body exercises. Many gym trainers tell athletes to target their upper bodies on Mondays and Wednesdays and their lower bodies on Tuesdays and Thursdays. At TB12, we advise athletes to do upper body, core, and lower body in the same workout. By engaging your entire body at once, you activate every muscle group, are holistically stronger and more balanced, and also move better. Why do we at TB12 emphasize explosive movements? Because in the course of our daily lives, our bodies, especially our lower bodies, need to move quickly and efficiently, whether we're walking, standing, running, getting up out of a chair, or climbing stairs. Our legs are involved in lots of movements, and it's important to stress their muscles beyond just our body weight, but always in a tolerable way. It shouldn't be like climbing Mount Everest. Vary these exercises and add heavier resistance bands as you go. As with all of these exercises, focus on the amount of strength that's appropriate for your life. Please refer to the accompanying PDF for visual references for the following exercises. 1. Squat. Equipment. None. This exercise mimics the motions, standing, sitting, getting up again, we do every day. The goal is to use your glutes while keeping pressure off your knees. Assume an upright posture with your feet hip-width apart. Stick your butt out and gradually lower yourself into a squat. Keep your knees directly over your toes and don't allow them to collapse inward. As you come back up, remember to squeeze your glutes. Rise and lower for 20 seconds. As with all these exercises, focus on the amount of strength that's appropriate to your life. As we said earlier, think fast and move fast. That's why we train fast. Variation. Short looped bands are a good way to add challenge to the exercise. 2. Lateral resisted squat. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, waist height. A squat, but with the variation of side resistance. Loop the band around your waist so it's taut. With your posture upright and your feet hip-width apart, lower yourself into a squat. Keep your knees directly over your toes and don't allow them to collapse inward. Do this for 20 seconds. Turn, face the other way, and repeat on the other side. 3. Leg-assisted side plank. Equipment: none. This exercise activates your body's lateral stability as you push up from one side and then the other. Assume a short side plank position, with your knees bent and pressed slightly forward. Brace your weight on your right arm. Raise your top leg so that it's parallel with the ground, and extend your left arm straight over your shoulder so it's perpendicular to the ground. Maintain this position for 5 seconds, then begin fanning your leg up and down using short motions. Do this for 20 seconds, then repeat on the other side. 4. Forward lunge with high hold. Equipment: resistance bands, sheathed or looped. Resistance band position, overhead. Whether we're climbing the stairs or stepping down off a porch, a lunge is a fairly common everyday movement. In this exercise, overhead resistance bands add challenge. With the band attached high on the wall, face away from the wall, door, or anchor point, and grip the handle or loop with your right arm. Drop down into a lunge position while keeping your right arm overhead in a locked position. Switch arms and repeat on the other side. 5. Four-way band running in place. Equipment: resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, waist height. By running in place as fast as you can while maintaining stability, you train your brain and body to do these same movements, only slower, in the course of daily living. Attach a band around your waist. Move away from the wall until the band grows taut. With your stomach and glutes engaged, begin running in place at a comfortable speed for 20 seconds. Keep your knees up at all times. Turn so your side is to the wall. Begin running in place. Now turn and face the wall. With the band taut, run in place for another 20 seconds. Turn sideways and do the same, then turn in the other direction and repeat. 6. Resisted shuffle. Equipment: resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, waist height. The challenge in this exercise is to stay stable, level, and relaxed at all times. It's not easy. With the band looped around your waist, crouch low, engaging your glutes, with your feet hip-width apart. Now, shuffle leap from one side to the other, making quick, explosive motions as you go. Turn, face the other direction, and repeat. 7. Hide and hop. Equipment: none. A great knee stability exercise that we use a lot at TB12. Start with small jumps, then work your way up. The goal of this exercise is to jump from one leg to the other. Keeping your knee directly over your toes, jump up and land on the other side. Hold for 2 seconds. Jump again, switching directions. Do this for 20 seconds. The goal is height, not distance. 8. Single leg clock jumps. Equipment: none. Jump, land on one foot, and turn. This exercise seems tailor-made for wide receivers. Sit backwards slightly with your knees directly over your toes. Engage your core and glutes. Now raise one leg and jump in place. Rotate 90 degrees and repeat, then another 90 degrees, until you're back to where you started. Don't let your raised leg touch the ground. Do the exercise for 20 seconds. Repeat, this time counterclockwise. Alternative: If the single leg clock jump is too difficult, do the same exercise without raising one leg. 9. Squat jump. Equipment, none. If you've ever jumped down off a stone wall, this exercise will remind you of the importance of landing on both feet. Keep your knees directly over your toes. Raise your arms in front of you at chest level. Assume a squat for a 1-2 count. Jump up, and then return to the squat position. Hold again for a 1-2 count. Repeat. Go faster to increase the cadence. The emphasis is on height, not distance. Keep your knees directly over your toes at all times. Do the exercise for 20 seconds. 10. Squat to press. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. In this exercise, you explode upward while lifting your arms high up over your head. Step inside the band with both feet and assume a squat position with the band at shoulder level. As you straighten up, raise the band overhead. Return to your squat and repeat the motion. Keep your knees directly over your toes, making sure they don't collapse inward. Do this for 20 seconds, gradually increasing the pace. 11. Hip thrusters. Equipment. Resistance bands, looped. Resistance band position, knee height. Imagine doing a squat while being pulled backward. This one can take a little time to master. Attach the band to a low point on the wall, door, or anchor point, and loop it around your waist. With your back to the wall, walk out a few steps until the band is taut. Assume a squat position, keeping the band taut. Rise up in an explosive movement, then lower back down to your squat position. Repeat for 20 seconds. 12. Band deadlift. Equipment. Resistance bands, sheathed or looped. A much better way to do a deadlift, since a resistance band is more forgiving than weights. Place both feet over a sheathed or looped band. Hold both sides of the band with your hands until the band is taut. Assume a squat, keeping your back as flat as possible. Pull up with the bands pushing your hips forward. By manipulating the slack in your band, you can make this exercise easier or harder. Chapter 7. Hydration. Achieving sustained peak performance means building up and maintaining your body's ability to do what it needs to do at its highest levels. To accomplish that, one tool isn't enough. We need a set of tools we can use at the same time, the goal being the health and constant regeneration of our muscles. In other words, our inner environment. As we get older, we all have to deal with some degree of slowdown. But by bringing together the right variety of tools in a holistic manner, we can decelerate that aging process as most people experience it today. At TB12, we do that through pliability and amplifiers that maximize our daily vitality. Of these tools, the first, proper hydration, is to me by far the most important. The body's lymphatic system, which helps vacuum out damaged cells and fight infection, can flush out many of the effects of poor nutrition. But if we don't drink enough water, the lymphatic system can't flush out much at all. The lymphatic system is more than 95% water, and we need to keep it clean and flowing constantly so it can rid our bodies of toxins that build up. That's one reason why keeping well hydrated is key to our overall health. Not only that, but it increases our chances for optimal pliability. 20 years ago, when I was playing at Michigan, I didn't drink nearly as much water as I do today. On top of that, I drank a lot of other things, alcohol, juice, soda, that I later found out can be dehydrating. I definitely experienced a lot more fatigue in my 20s than I do today, and I got more headaches too. Today I rarely get fatigued, I never get headaches, and I never cramp. I credit this to the amount of water and electrolytes I drink. Electrolytes are chemicals and nutrients that are already present in our bodies in the form of potassium, sodium, magnesium, and others. They create an electric charge, either positive or negative, whenever they dissolve in the blood, urine, or body fluids. Electrolytes are essential for maintaining blood chemistry, proper nerve and muscle function, and acid-alkaline balance. They help our muscles expand and contract, and our lymphatic system circulate water and fluids inside the body. That's why electrolytes are so critical to proper hydration, which maintains our levels of pliability. On any given day, I easily drink more than 150 ounces of water with TB12 electrolytes, and on active days I drink close to twice that. To help you visualize, a can of soda or a normal bottle of water is 12 ounces. I drink the equivalent of 12 to 25 of those every day, and always with TB12 electrolytes. Basically, you'll never see me without a bottle of water in my hand. And I add electrolytes to virtually everything I drink. And that's been true for the past 12 years. Even if I'm drinking lemonade, I'll add electrolytes to it. Otherwise, I feel like I'm doing myself a disservice. For anyone who exercises regularly and who's committed to sustained peak performance, the rule of thumb at TB12 is simple. Drink at least one half of your body weight in ounces of water every day. That's the minimum. Ideally, you'll drink more than that, and with added electrolytes too. This makes sense considering the composition of our bodies. As is well known, our bodies are made up of anywhere from 60 to 80% water, and our muscles alone are 75% water. Water aids in brain function, ensures healthy metabolism, digestion, and kidney function, helps circulate oxygen into the bloodstream, lubricates joints, and ensures proper muscle function. If we don't drink enough water, we risk decreasing the supply of oxygen in our bloodstream and depriving our muscles and organs of the proper nutrients. That means we build up more toxins in our cells, tissues, and organs. Let me repeat. That means we build up more toxins in our cells, which creates an unhealthy inner environment. Our metabolism slows down, which makes us more vulnerable to infection and inflammation. For athletes especially, drinking enough water decreases joint pain by softening and hydrating cartilage and increasing how much water gets absorbed. That's why proper hydration is linked to pliability. Our body coaches can often predict how sore clients who come to the TB12 Sports Therapy Center may be based on their discomfort level after their first pliability session. Pain and soreness are normal responses to pliability if an athlete's muscles are dehydrated from poor hydration or nutrition. A trained body coach can literally feel the difference between someone who's eating well and is properly hydrated and another person who doesn't drink enough water and eats poorly. How fast or slowly we're able to develop pliable muscles and optimal strength depends to a large extent on how hydrated we are. That's why the first and most critical amplifier of the TB12 method, and of pliability, centers on making sure you drink enough water, ideally with electrolytes. Water basics. Dehydration is a chronic problem, and is more common than most people realize. I'm not just talking about for athletes either. I'm talking about everybody. A lot of people I've met through the TB12 Sports Therapy Center believe that they're properly hydrated, or at least hydrated enough. They might drink one or two glasses of water in the morning, bottled water at lunch, tap water at dinner, and keep a glass by their bedside at night. But when you add up the totals, they're only getting about 3 or 4 cups of water daily, which doesn't come close to how we at TB12 define proper hydration. Most athletes don't realize they're sweating and breathing out anywhere from 8 to 10 cups of water a day, especially in warm temperatures. That water needs to be replenished, and ideally with electrolytes too. When people ask whether other beverages count in their daily hydration, I remind them that coffee, tea, alcohol, and soda can be dehydrating, and that the sugar content in alcohol and soda makes them even worse. Put another way, water adds to pliability, and diuretic drinks containing sugar, caffeine, or alcohol take away from pliability. Dehydration is also a compounding issue, meaning that you need to drink more fluid ounces of water to make up for each fluid ounce of a dehydrating liquid you drink. This is why I try to limit caffeine and my intake of alcohol, as they go against all my efforts to stay as hydrated as possible. If there's one simple thing everyone can do to enhance their own muscle pliability, it's to drink enough water regularly and continuously. Also, it's not enough to drink one half of your body weight or more in ounces of water on Monday, thinking your body will be properly hydrated one or two days later. Reaching a baseline of proper hydration takes at least 14 days. When I explain hydration to people, I use the analogy of going into a butcher shop. Imagine the difference when you look behind the counter at a beautiful fresh piece of tenderloin, and right next to it you see a dried up piece of beef jerky. The tenderloin is healthy and supple, whereas the beef jerky is shriveled and dried out. That beef jerky is what dehydrated muscles look like. No, it's not a perfect or exact analogy, but the next time you consider drinking a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, without rebalancing their dehydrating effects with water and electrolytes, you need to picture that image. Consider that when you drink a single cup of coffee or glass of wine, it can create a dehydrating factor of as much as 2 to 1 per cup or glass. In other words, to offset the effects of a single serving of coffee or beer, you may need to drink 2 glasses of water with electrolytes on top of the water you already drink. It's also important to recognize that not all waters are created equal. Here are some of the varieties out there. Tap water. Tap water is water that comes from a municipal source. Depending on where you live, most sources of tap water contain fluoride, chlorine, and in some cases, lead. Excessive amounts of both fluoride and chlorine have now been linked to a number of health risks. Drink tap water only if you filter it first, which gets rid of many impurities. Even when you use tap water for steaming vegetables, it's better to filter it first. Distilled or filtered water. Distilled water is water purified of any contaminants or pollutants. Unfortunately, it's also been stripped of its mineral content, which means it doesn't give our bodies the nutrients they need. If I were drinking distilled water, I would always add electrolytes. Spring water. Most bottled waters start off as spring water, which may or may not have gone through a treating or purification process. That said, many bottled waters contain bacteria and chemicals. In addition, as a result of their popularity and demand, more than half of all bottled waters whose labels claim to be spring water are nothing more than treated tap water, drawn from multiple sources. Mineral water. Many brands of mineral water contain alkalizing minerals, and therefore have an alkalizing effect on the body, which is optimal. I'll talk about alkalinity in the next chapter. Some mineral waters claim to be naturally alkaline, but always check the label to make sure. Mineral water is always a great option. Carbonated water. Carbonated water, such as seltzer water, sparkling water, and, in cases where sodium is added, club soda, is water pressurized using carbon dioxide gas. Carbonated water has less oxygen than regular water, is slightly more acidic, and can also be dehydrating. I avoid it. Purified water. Purified water has the fewest number of impurities, since chemicals and pathogens have been eliminated to a degree exceeding what the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency requires for everyday tap water. As the name says, purified water, which is identified on the label, is the purest water out there. It's my recommendation for what to drink, though I add electrolytes to it first to replenish the electrolyte and mineral content I lose each day. A reminder. Remember that the only way our brains and bodies store positive and intentional trauma is via nervous system stimulation during a pliability session. When we contract and relax our muscles as they're being lengthened and softened, we're re-educating our brains to train those muscles to stay long, soft, and primed. And how quickly or slowly we're able to develop pliable muscles and optimal strength depends to a large extent on how hydrated we are. When I was growing up and playing outside in the sun, I got sunburned a lot. I was a fair-skinned Irish boy, after all. These days, even if I get an adequate amount of sun, I won't get a sunburn, which I credit to the amount of water I drink. I always hydrate afterward, too, to keep my skin from peeling. When I once told that to my sister, she said, "You mean I don't have to use all those moisturizers and facial products just to keep my skin looking good? I should just drink as much water as you do?" I think you should market your TB12 electrolytes as a beauty product. I just laughed. Signs of dehydration. Water helps our bodies carry out their normal functions. And dehydration means only that we've lost water in our bodies without replacing it. The more we exercise, the more water we lose. Even non-athletes are vulnerable to dehydration. Dry lips, dry skin, dry eyes, headaches, nosebleeds, and waking up in the middle of the night with a dry throat are all symptoms of dehydration. Personally, I've always noticed that the more hydrated I am, the less likely I am to get sunburns. I'm in the sun a lot, especially on the practice field. I credit that to my hydration levels. Why the right electrolytes matter. During and after exercising, athletes lose a lot of water and electrolytes via breathing and sweating, which can lead to faintness and dizziness. That's why I go through a bottle of electrolytes every day. In 2013, we at TB12 developed what we believe are the purest, highest quality electrolytes available. TB12 electrolytes, which are enriched with 72 trace minerals, and contain no added preservatives, flavors, or sweeteners, are a natural mineral concentrate that allows athletes to turn any liquid into a hydrating sports drink. To recap, electrolytes are chemicals and nutrients that are already present in our bodies in the form of potassium, sodium, magnesium, and others. Alex has explained it to me this way. Our muscle cells can either resemble soft soap bubbles or hard glass bubbles. When you're dehydrated, your muscle cells are more likely to take on the look and consistency of hard glass bubbles. You can drink a gallon of water, but unless it has electrolytes in it, the water molecules won't be able to pass into and out of the fluid compartments in your body. They run off and never permeate the cell. Imagine a rain jacket doing its job by resisting rain. We don't ever want to prevent water molecules from penetrating our cells. By contrast, water that's been enhanced with electrolytes passes into and out of your muscle cells easily and efficiently. The more electrolytes your body has, the more easily water is able to penetrate your muscles, and the more likely your cells are to take on the qualities of soap bubbles. Imagine a sponge that absorbs maximum amounts of water. During a workout, if you're drinking only plain water to replace the natural salts your body loses through perspiration, you're not replacing them with the minerals your body needs. The goal of electrolytes is to make the water you drink wetter and more likely to be absorbed by your body's cells. It's the best way to hydrate. In my belief, not all electrolytes are the same. Some electrolytes have a positive charge, and others have a